ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
What I'm going to say, you probably think is very simplistic. I'm sure people have been offended by what I've said before. That's okay. But hear me out on this. Don't tune me out. Don't close your ears so you can't hear what I'm saying. After I'm done showing you the scriptures and what they have to say, you can still disagree with me, but your problem's not with me. Like with Asa, it's with the Lord. And really, what may seem so helpful to you, this worldly wisdom, is not going to supply what you'll need to help you. And eventually, it's going to bring you down. You won't destroy those fortresses. The verse I'm going to share with you, I'm sure you're very familiar with. It's out of Isaiah 9:6, where we're told, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now some of you are thinking, oh, here we go again. He's going to tell us that Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. I am. Just don't close your ears to it. The Hebrew word for wonderful is pila. And it's not a word that just means, you know, great or fantastic, even though Jesus is a great counselor. It means miraculous. He is our miraculous counselor. Jesus can do for us what no one else can do. These are issues of the heart, and we need to understand that. I'm not talking about physical conditions. These are emotional, spiritual issues. These are things you can't fix with an operation. But it's a hard issue. And not only is Jesus miraculous in what he does in our lives, but he's our counselor. And when we think of this word, we tend to think of it as someone who listens to our problems and then gives us advice on what we should do. Well, yeah, Jesus does listen to our problems. He gives us advice, but here's the difference. The advice that Jesus gives to us far exceeds anything that the world can give to us. Think about it. Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, B.F. Skinner, Ivan Pavlov, Carl Rogers, Eric Erickson, and many others. Did they get it right some of the time? Yeah. But there's a difference between what these men have said and what Jesus tells us. Jesus gets it right 100% of the time. So, who are you going to trust? Why trust men who may get it right? They may get it wrong. Well, what's the problem then? It's simple. We don't always like what Jesus has to say to us. Let's face it. He shows us what's in our heart and what we need to do. And what do we like to do? But, right? And then you could put on the end of that but whatever you want. We blame others. That's what's going on in the church in America today. Church is buying into this garbage, blaming others for the way they're acting. Show me one place in the Bible where God says, it's their fault for the way you're acting. You won't find them. We have adults that blame their parents for the way they're acting. They don't even talk to their parents anymore because they were damaged by them. I'm not talking about teenagers, 20, 30, 40-year-old people, adults, grow up. I'm sure I'll get letters and emails. That's okay. I don't care. First of all, I don't care what your parents did to you. I know that's uncaring, but I don't care. That's not the issue. Can you forgive them? Yeah, but no. I'm sorry. Yes, some of you maybe came from very bad family situations, and I'm not trying to, you know, wash that away. What I am saying is, can you forgive them? There's the bigger question. Well, not until they say it, they're sorry. What does our wonderful counselor tell us? Forgive others as I've forgiven you. Wow. I can't do that. You're right, you can't. I can't until I surrender to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you to help me forgive. And he will. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told to honor our father and mother. And this is something that I found interesting. There's no but. Honor your father and mother, but if they're not nice to you, you don't have to. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say that. You honor your father and mother. Well, they're not saved and they're horrible and they're mean to me. Well, that's just their nature then. Then you need to love them so they may come to know the Lord. Well, they say they're Christians, but they did this when I was young. Now, I hate to say it. I had a son who didn't talk to me for years because he was telling people that I abused him as a child. It was devastating to me. It took years to figure this out. And I abused him because I yelled at him. Sorry, you guys are all abused. I don't get it. We need to be able to forgive even if we were abused as children. I'm not saying you put yourself, now you're an adult, to put yourself in a situation where they beat you. What I am saying is, can you love them as Christ loved you? That's a tough one. But this whole idea of honoring our father and mother, it's not just the one or two time mentioned in the scriptures. Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5:16, Matthew 15:4, Matthew 19:19, Mark 7:10, Mark 10:19, Luke 18:20. Ephesians 6:2, we're told, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. See, it's not an option here that you're to dishonor your parents if you don't like them, if you're mad at them, if this or that. It's pretty simple. And I guess it's much easier to believe that the reason you're behaving like you are is because of your parents. Isn't that great? I mean, I don't know how many of you remember the old Flip Wilson show. What did he used to say? The devil made me do it, right? You got to blame somebody. No. You know what? It's called sin. That's the issue that we don't want to admit to. That's the reason why you're behaving like you are. It's a heart issue. Yeah, it's harsh, but sin is the problem in our lives. I'm not saying we can't be influenced in this life. We are. But don't we have choices to make? Of course we do. I don't think anyone's put a gun to our head and told us to behave a certain way. We have choices to make. We know what's right and what's wrong. God has told us. And if we really want to blame someone, I don't hear many people do it, but why don't we blame Adam? That dirty scoundrel, it's his fault. Really? How many of you are above reproach that you could be the Adam in this world without sin? None of us. So we have no one to blame. And I think, agree with me or not, the Lord has all the answers for the issues of our heart. He wants to destroy those fortresses, those walls, so they don't destroy our lives, so they don't destroy relationships. And then we have to walk by faith and be obedient to Him. In Isaiah 30, verses 15 and 16, listen to what we're told. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall not flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. Notice what the Lord is telling them here. He's telling them basically to repent, to return to Him, because that's where they're going to find rest. That's where we're saved. And this is showing that when you trust God and His promises, then you're not going to trust in yourself. When we trust God, when we can rest because we're not striving to do it ourselves. We rest in Him. We have that quietness. We're not arguing with God. And nothing's going to stop us. But what's tragic in this story here in Isaiah, God said, return. Return to me. And they refused what God had for them. And in the end, they lost. They were going to jump on the Egyptian horses and ride to victory, and said they're fleeing for their lives. It was so bad that God is going to strip them bare in this judgment. So sad that they refused to hear the prophets of God. They wanted a positive message, you might say, and there were nothing more than lies from these false prophets, and judgment came. I mean, if we want that victory, then walk in obedience to the Lord. Get rid of those accursed things in our lives and walk by faith and see the victory that God has for us. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where does our rest and comfort come from? It comes from the Lord. I love that. We can rest in our wonderful counselor, our miraculous counselor, as we submit to him and are directed by his word opened up to us by his spirit. Make no mistake about it. John 1:14, the Lord gives us grace and truth. Yes, we don't deserve grace. He freely gives it to us. And then he gives us truth. But we have to decide, what are we going to do with that truth? Are we going to believe what he says? Or are we going to listen to what the world is telling us? And isn't it interesting with social media today, all the things that are being said today, all the craziness within Christianity? My heart breaks when I read some of the posts from people that are supporting ungodly things. I get devastated over it. I'm not as much of a Facebook player as I once was. I put our studies up there. I try and put some information about the church up there from time to time, but I'm not as a big player. It's just overwhelming sometimes when I read what people are involved in. The Lord has for us grace, and he has truth. He knows. Here's the thing, and I guess I'll just ask you a couple questions here. Do earthly counselors know your need, or do they need to ask you? Don't they have to ask us? What's going on? What's your story? What's happening? What'd you do in a previous life? No, that's right. Of course they have to ask, but here's the great thing. Our wonderful counselor, our miraculous counselor, knows our need before we ask him. He knows our past, he knows our present, and he knows our future. So why not go to the one who knows what we need and is right 100% of the time? I told you this story when I worked back in Illinois, that I took care of a woman who tried to commit suicide. Thank God she wasn't successful. But this is the reason I found out she tried to commit suicide. She didn't feel like she wanted to be married to her husband anymore. She went to a counselor. And the counselor said, well, if you don't want to be married, just get a divorce. So she did, thinking this is the answer she was looking for. Worldly wisdom. Her husband didn't want the divorce, but went along with it. He had nothing to say. He ends up getting remarried, has another family now, and she's devastated, and she tries to take her life. That's the worldly wisdom. Jesus would tell her, surrender to me, submit to me, stay in your marriage. You don't know what I have for your life. The other thing is, think about this. The earthly counselor, he hopes he can help you. And make no mistake, he tries. I mean, it's not like he doesn't try. Of course he does. And he'll try to see what's going to work with you. Try this, try that. But our wonderful counselor knows that he can help us with whatever we're going through. Earthly counselor searches for the answer. The wonderful counselor knows what you need. He is the answer to our problems. You know, Peter said in John 6, verses 68 and 69, he's answering the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Where else am I going to go, Lord? Why would I go to anyone else but you? You're Almighty God. You have the words of eternal life. You're the Son of God. Earthly counselor, you have to make an appointment with them. It's going to cost you a good sum of money to be treated. Our wonderful counselor, our miraculous counselor, isn't he always available? Absolutely. And that's what I love about him. I can go to him any time of the day or night, no matter where I'm at in the world, and lay my requests at his feet. What's the cost? It's already been paid for by Jesus. Wow. Wow. He's not only my miraculous counselor, but he paid my bill. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul said, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You see, God became flesh. He dwelt among us. He knows what we're going through. He faced the temptations we face, and thus he can sympathize with our weakness. He understands us. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how unworthy you may feel. I don't care how weak you may be. You can come before the throne of grace and find mercy there and grace there to help no matter what you're going through. And he'll give you the victory. Look again here in Joshua 6, verses 20 and 21. "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword." They wiped them out. Why? I think they were being obedient to what the Lord's, what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers, sayers, and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you." This is so important, guys, in our own lives. When fortresses are brought down, don't go playing with them again or building them up. You think about someone who has a problem with alcohol or drugs, and they've been set free. Hey, the buddies are going down to the bar. You want to come along with us? You better say no. But how many times? "I'll just go have a Pepsi or something with a shot in it." Is what ends up happening. You don't play with those fortresses again. God destroyed them. Why are you building them up again? Don't let that happen in your lives. It will harm you. And, you know, we talked about this when we were in Joshua, but there is evidence for these walls being taken down, falling outward. You know, when you came in and you attacked the city, you knocked down the walls, you push them inward, but the walls of Jericho fell outward. Just like the Lord said. That tells me the Lord brought those walls down. It wasn't Joshua who came up with this great military strategy. Why do we think we're going to know better than the Lord? We're not, guys. And I know we can rationalize all kinds of different things, but the reality is only Jesus can be our miraculous counselor, bring those miracles in our lives that we would never expect to see, tear down those walls that are in our lives. Let me share this with you. Because as you look at what the world has done for us and what the Lord has for us, they don't even compare. An anonymous author made the striking comparison. Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40, Jesus for only 3. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 years of teaching from these men who are among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures. Yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, still Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymns and symphonies they composed in his praise. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter of Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of men is the salvation of the soul. Philosophy could not accomplish that, nor art, nor literature, nor music. Only Jesus Christ can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace to the human heart, strengthen the weak, and give life to those who are spiritually dead. What a wonderful counselor we have, guys. If that's what you leave here with, just taking that one simple message, we have a wonderful, miraculous counselor that we can go to any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Praise God for that. Never forget that. That's why we need to bring everything to him. I don't care where you're at now, because it's time to come to that wonderful counselor to find peace and strength and direction, even eternal life if you haven't repented of your sins and asked him to be Lord and Savior of your life. It's a tough world out there right now. Everything we hold dearly to is being challenged today. The world says that they're evil, and we're going to need a wonderful counselor to encourage us in the days that we're living in, guys. We want that victory. We want to destroy those fortresses that are in our homes or marriages or jobs with our children, with whatever. We want those fortresses to be destroyed. Then be obedient to God's word. Keep yourself from the accursed things, those hindrances, and obtain that victory by walking in faith. And don't think that just because, okay, I'm doing that, and I've done it for 22 and a half minutes, and I'm not seeing the victory yet. Hey, God has his timing. Do you trust him? See, we live in a society where we want everything quickly. Some of you are old enough to remember when microwaves first came out. Greatest thing in the world, weren't they? Man, you put food in there, they're ready in what, 2 minutes, man? It was awesome. Now you put food in there, you're like, when is this going to be? Come on, 2 minutes. Because we want everything, bam. Sometimes you've got to continue walking around the city silently and waiting for God to bring the salvation to the situation you're facing. Lay it at his feet. And I'll close with this. True faith obeys God and his word. True faith focuses upon God and sees the unseen. True faith depends upon God alone. True faith declares itself. And how is your faith? How is the faith of the church? These things happen as an example for us who still fight the battles of faith. And by learning from them, we can achieve the victory in the Lord, and he will cause the impossible walls to tumble before us. Praise God for that. We have a miraculous counselor who wants to give us the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these lessons over the last few weeks here, destroying those fortresses. And I'm sure every single one of us are dealing with things today that seem overwhelming. Those walls are so high, and there's no way we're going to be able to take them down. But we forgot to bring them to you, Lord, and to ask you to take those walls down in our lives, those walls that are hindering our walk with you, those walls that we're struggling with, to bring healing, to bring salvation, to whatever we need, Lord, you can do, and we thank you for that. You're a wonderful counselor, and we don't need anyone else but you, Lord. Guide us, direct us, and Lord, may we walk by faith all the days of our lives. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.